on local offices and charges. There's a verse there from Philippians 1, which says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons. So we're going to look at in this session what it means when we refer to this term, the elders or to deacons, to these particular offices that were given to the local church. And this is really what consisted every local assembly at the beginning of time. There were saints, and we are all saints. We've mentioned it lots of times. I believe today or yesterday, we could, in the Church of England calendar, we should be celebrating Marjorie Kemp or whoever that is. Okay, there might be some particular, say, when we use the word saints, today we maybe think of particular individuals of faith that may be celebrated and sadly in some cases even worshipped. That's not the scriptural principle. All Christians are saints. So at the start there were saints, but some were given particular roles, particular offices, and that's what we're going to look at today. And they are known as overseers, or we're going to use the term elders, or maybe bishops in different passages of the Bible and different translations, and deacons. But that's what we want to look at today. So all Christians are saints. This is how I hope it to work, kind of a why. We're going to look at what elders are, look at some examples. We're going to go back and look at what deacons are and look at some examples in the Bible. We're going to look at their qualifications. Now, they don't share the same qualifications, but they're in the same chapter. So we're going to bring that together. And then I hope to kind of bring the similar conclusions about how they were appointed, and especially what about us today? Even though we're talking about very different offices, I think we will have some similar conclusions. So that's where we're going with that. So, elders, what do you think about when you hear the word elder? As I said, I'm going to use these terms interchangeably. Elder, overseer, or bishop. Now, if you look at the pictures to my left, which one do you think is more biblical? One is, I can't remember which, the guy here, which part of Christendom he is part of, but he is a bishop over a number of churches. In his language. The other is an Afghan tribal elder. Okay? Neither of these are perfect examples of what we find in the Bible, but I would argue actually the guy furthest on the left is closer to what we have in the Bible than what we may call a bishop or an elder today, and we'll expound that as we're not saying that they're found in scriptures, but one I'd say is closer to what we have in the Bible. So, what is an elder? I'm going to suggest is a man, a mature Christian man who is to provide spiritual leadership to the local assembly. And they're always found in plural. There's never one. What we have with this guy here, he will be a bishop over several churches. We never find that in scripture. We find elders, overseers, in one local area, one local place. Much like you might get this Afghan tribal leader today. So, what's their role? I've just tried to summarize some key points of what I think the role of an elder was. We're going to look at scriptures. We're not going to be able to go through them all, but we'll read a few. But elders are there to shepherd, to protect, to care, to preach and to teach, to keep watch, to lead. There's perhaps more, but there's the key things we read of an elder. I'm going to read one passage, and these are all found in the scriptures, but you could turn again to the book of Acts and chapter 20 and verse 28. Paul says this, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among you, your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. So I think even in those couple of verses, we see a number of those key principles that elders and key roles for elders, they were to care for the flock. They were to protect the saints from false doctrine, from attacks from the outside. They were to feed, which we'll look at later on, to pay careful attention, to look after the flock. Some other, as we've said, we could read in, we've read about them being shepherds. They should be willing, preach and teach the word. We can read in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and in Titus 1, to restore souls, to care for the poor saints. There are a number of roles that elders were to be involved with. But for the sake of time, we can't go through every single one. If I was to give you a picture of what I think really an elder is not those first two pictures, but this is really for us to understand what was the role of an elder. Well, it's akin, and we'll come back to this picture at the end, of a shepherd. What does a shepherd do? Well, he protects the flock. What does a shepherd do? Well, he feeds the flock, or makes sure the flock is being fed. He protects them from enemies from outside. If one is lost or gone away, he's wanting to bring them back in. Now, obviously, and we'll come to this, the Lord Jesus is the great shepherd. He is our shepherd. But there's a sense in which that's really the role of an elder, to look at the flock, the local assembly where they were, to care for, protect them, much as a shepherd would do. So if we keep those thoughts in mind, we will come back to them in a bit. So let's go back again, this time to deacons. So we have a different office. One, an elders that were appointed to care, to preach, to teach. What's a deacon then? Why do we have these two pictures before you? Again, not biblical examples. You don't find a verse where these are mentioned, but I hope these examples will give us an understanding of what it means to be one. On the far left, some of you may know who that is. Some of you probably don't. That's a football player called N'Golo Kanté. He has won everything there is to win. And yet you don't see many highlight reels of him. He doesn't score great goals. He doesn't go on great runs. He doesn't do things that get clipped on YouTube. And yet everyone that plays with him says a few things. He says he makes everyone else better. He tackles the ball. He passes it on. He allows us to play. His role is to serve and allow others to use their gifts in a footballing sense. He also is well known for having a very humble and good attitude. We'll come back to that. And last one, this is a scene, it's not taken from my house, but it's seen in my house quite a lot, of a mum feeding the washing machine. Now, for some of us, it might think it's a miraculous gift that clothes get clean. But there is, I'm sure in most houses, a mother, maybe late at night, maybe early in the morning, who feeds this washing machine. No one has to tell her to do it. No one perhaps even asks for her to do it, but she does it to ensure that her family has clean clothes to wear the next day. Underappreciated, not heralded, but I think both of these are examples today we can say, that's really what it means to be a deacon. Well, let's go now to the scriptures, which is obviously our first and most important example. We've referred to this before. I'll just read it. This is the best example we have of deacons in the scriptures. Acts 6 says, "Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned their full number of disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of the wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Procurus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Pamaris, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them." Michael brought before us that this, what might seem trivial, was a very crucial moment in the early church. There were widows, people who felt Their widows, their people were not being looked after. How many problems and issues come from people feeling they've been neglected, they're being left out? And it was most likely just an oversight because the apostles had to admit here that even the apostles had taken on too much. And we as human beings need to remember this as well. We might have the feeling, some of us have a thing where we don't want to do anything, some of us want to do everything. But even the apostles had to admit, actually, for the church, for the assembly to be served, we're going to need to step back. We're going to not need to do everything. And so they chose men who were full of faith, of good repute, to then do this administrative work. So the apostles could devote themselves to prayer and teaching the word. They needed other people to do, in this case, a more administrative service role to help them in that way. And that's how I would see it, similar to those pictures we had before. These, in the early church in Acts, Philip and others, sorry, Stephen and others and Philip, who were given this role, they were going to enable, first and foremost, the apostles then to fully devote themselves to prayer and preaching, but also to make sure that this oversight didn't happen, that the practical things, which are so important, were taken out. So some words I think use for deacons. Ultimately, simply, a deacon is a servant. I think the word literally means to serve at tables. That's what it is. It's a servant. But I would argue that much of the roles, we're all servants, but much of the roles are perhaps more administrative, are often in the background, and it's enabling other people to serve in other ways. Much like our footballer who does the simple things well and lets the other players shine, as much the way that the deacon's role is to do that. To do that, we need to have love, as Derek's brought before us. We need to be humble. Because these roles, whether we take it outside of the assembly and in the home of feeding the washing machine, doesn't get much praise, doesn't get much recognition. Within the assembly, how many people leave here today going, wasn't it great the weeks that was put in advance to organize the speakers, to make sure the food was on time, to book the hall, to make sure the microphone worked? How many of us comment on those things? How many of us encourage those people that are doing them? Without those things, there is no day like today. And there are many roles like that in the service of the Lord that go unheralded and perhaps seem less important to us, but to God they are far from it. Just because it's the background, just because it's enabling others, does not mean it's less important. So this is how I would summarize a deacon, is someone who serves, but in a way that enables others to serve the Lord and to use their gifts, particularly in that way. We have an example of another one, another servant, someone that was commended for her service in Phoebe. And then I've included this. Now again, Martha was not in a local assembly at this point. It's not essentially a deacon service. But what I like about this example, and what I think is essential for us, is the attitude. We have these two accounts. Firstly, of when we know well, when Martha was serving in the background, getting food ready. And we can imagine her complaint saying, it's all right for Mary, but people need to eat. And perhaps if you're involved in certain deacon service, there's perhaps a feeling of that. It's all right just having this, but somebody needs to book the hall. It's all right wanting to have a time of teaching, but somebody has to actually open the door. And perhaps we feel unappreciated. And I think that's what Martha felt in the first account. What's great and what I love, and we know this well, so we don't know, go into it. In John 12, we read a very similar situation. We've got the similar characters. We have the Lord in Bethany. We have this time Lazarus fully alive and with them, raised from the dead. And who's giving the dinner? Martha's serving, again in the background. And Mary's there also, reclining with him and with Lazarus. But Mary's there doing this service this time with good motives and with joy. And so I think that's encouraging for us. So, an elder is one who teaches, cares for, protects the flock. Not limited to that. A deacon is someone who was given the role to serve, in perhaps an administrative, a background way, but one whose service allows others to use their gifts and to serve in that way. So what are the qualifications? For time, this is the chapter, perhaps you could have it open before you. Here, in the first half, you have some of the qualifications for an overseer, bishop, elder, it's the same term. And then we go on to the qualifications for a deacon. So again, we may look at the elder being, oh, this is someone that teaches and preaches, and the deacon is someone who's in the background. Look at the qualifications. This slide, I think, for time makes it more clearer for us, and we can see some of the qualifications that the apostle could lay out of what was needed for an elder, for a deacon. And the ones in the middle are ones that they share. I'll just read out. I mean, on the elders, we've got able to teach, but not violent, not quarrelsome, self-controlled. On the deacons on the far side, we have not double-tongued, tested first, not to be too young. But in the middle, we have qualifications that they both share. And I just wanted to pick out a couple of them. Both of the elders and the deacons, it says they should manage a household. They should be able to manage their children. Now, whether that means somebody in these positions has to have a household and children is a different question. But I think the principle for us is important for all of us, which is that before these men were to serve in these roles, they had to prove themselves in smaller things. And it's not that a family is a small thing. It's not as less important. I would argue it's the most important thing. But it's that the sphere of influence, those of us that have households and families, our sphere may be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people. It's not 10, 20 people. So it's that small thing. But we have from the Lord here says, one who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. One who is dishonest in very little is dishonest in much. And I think it's an interesting principle, first and foremost, and we're going to come to the application for today, but there's a temptation. Well, let me ask you this. Why do you think so many men like to spend lots of time at work and sometimes neglect their family? I'll give you one reason, because for some people, going to work is a lot easier than being with their family. At work, people do what you tell them. At home, maybe not. At work, you can tell somebody and threaten them to be fired. At home, you can't do that. Maybe that's the case as well. Why do people, and this again, just my personal opinion, but why do some people like to travel far and visit lots of places far away and maybe not spend time in their local assembly? Well, you get appreciated when you go away and visit for a few times. It's not so much when people know you inside and out. But we should start at home. And if those things in our own homes, in our own households, are not going well, we should be very careful before we seek to serve in other ways. We have a priority of our own households, a smaller thing, but that's where we start. That's where the truth of it is. I can put on a big show here, but there's certain individuals who know exactly what I'm like when we go home. They're the ones who know the truth of it. I can pretend to be all sorts of things right now, but our own households is where the truth is. But I think that's a good principle, especially for those that are younger. We're going to talk about those that want to do these things. Derek talked about desiring these gifts. It's a good thing to want to do certain things, but start small. Start where we're at. Don't neglect that. The priorities are in the household, in those around us. But let's look at it. How were these individuals appointed? We might look today and say, well, there's lots of places where there's good Bible-believing Christians that seem to have elders and maybe deacons. I don't know whether they sort of appoint them in such the same way. But certainly elders. Lots of good Bible-believing Christians have elders, which they'll call elder so-and-so and elder so-and-so. But we'll look at how perhaps they're appointed today. But how were they appointed to begin with? Well, we read in Acts 14, when they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord whom they have believed. Who's the they? Well, it's the apostles. What we read in every account, it's the apostles who appointed elders. We don't actually read of the Jewish churches elders being appointed there because it seems to be more of a tradition of happening throughout the Jews, and so that was perhaps just tradition taken. Yeah, we need elders and we will appoint them. The occasions where it wasn't the apostles, it was an apostle telling a delegate, telling someone else to appoint them, as we have in Titus. This is why I left you in Crete, so you might put what remained in order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. So, in the early church, in the beginning, elders were appointed by apostles or by their delegates. They were not voted on, as we might think that's a nice idea, or maybe not, but that there's no evidence, there's no reference to that. It wasn't that they said, I think I'm an elder now, although it's a good thing to want to be one, but it was the apostles who chose them. So now the applications of the things we've hopefully defined a deacon and defined, we have an idea of what an elder is. We've understood how they were appointed nearly 2,000 years ago. The question for us should be thinking is, well, what about today? We perhaps don't see or call anyone an elder. Is anyone a deacon today? Do we just sort of leave 1 Timothy 3 and that's a piece of scripture that's not really for us today, and when we read elders, we'll just keep skipping on? Is it nothing to do with us today? Well, let's begin with this. Sadly, especially that picture's from YouTube, there's lots of people today who claim to be apostles. But clearly, there are no apostles today. We could say an apostle is the same one, but in terms of this, in who the apostles were, they had to have been witness to his resurrection. And in Paul's case, he saw the Lord, had a special witness, but he saw the Lord on that road to Damascus. None of us can say that. There are no apostles today. Therefore, we have to conclude there's no one to appoint elders today. There's nobody here to appoint deacons. Let's think about it for a second. Who's going to appoint the elders in your local assembly? Let's imagine that. Would I come and appoint? Who am I to tell you that you're an elder? Who's anyone else to appoint anyone else? When we think of it that way, how could we do that? And so we don't have these roles in this official way because there are no apostles to appoint them today. And also, as we've said, and I'm glad it's been said a number of times, where is the church, the local assembly, in a particular place? Where is where I live, the assembly in Kilkeel? Where is it? Is it in the building in Newcastle Street Hall where I meet every Sunday? Well, it is there, but it's not just there. And so when we talk about elders in the local church, where is it? Who would be appointed in that locality when, sadly, due to failings and denominations that have come in, practically today, the local church is a fragmented thing, and so to appoint them is not possible. So, however, what do we need? And this is where hopefully we'll bring it together today. So to be clear, these offices existed in the local church. These people, these roles existed in the early church. I think today we need them, but due to the breakdown, due to there are no apostles, there is nobody that we can say or we can appoint in these particular roles. But I think we can perhaps recognize those amongst us who do the work of a deacon. We can perhaps recognize those amongst us who we can look up to and who we can listen to their teaching. I'll just go back very quickly for one point. Sometimes we read these qualifications and we go, well, that's another reason why we don't have them today, because nobody meets those qualifications, which may be true. And I'm not standing here saying I meet these qualifications, especially when my kids are young enough that I can pick them up and throw them into bed. That's, oh yeah, they obey what I say. Fair enough. I'm well aware that the harder times are coming. But I don't think they're impossible. I don't think we should look at them and say that's impossible for a Christian to follow. Difficult, a high standard, but it's not put there to say impossible. So we shouldn't look at them and go, well, that's for, especially for the young men that are here, and say, well, that's what's the point of even aspiring to do that. No, I think that we should aspire to be men and women like having these particular qualifications. what about today? But what we do need, we may not have deacons assigned, given that particular role, but do we need servants? We need servants. We need individuals who are willing to serve. A few verses. This should, whether we recognize a particular person is a deacon or not, all of us should come together in the local assembly with this attitude. Not looking at our own interests, not looking at what we're going to get, not coming as consumers, but looking for the interests of others. That's what a deacon is. Someone that's seeking to serve and is thinking, how can I help other people use their gifts? How can I work together to create a day where people can teach, where people can be encouraged and built up, as one example. And the beautiful thing is that in doing so, we are following the Lord's example. He came not to be served, even though who else could deserve to be served and honored and worshipped, but he came to serve. And then we have the beautiful example, we're not going to for time's sake, but perhaps I always think the most beautiful example of service, perhaps other than the cross, but in the hours before the cross, where the Lord could get down on his knees and wash his disciples' feet. There was care and service. Perhaps not an exact example of a deacon, but that's the attitude that we need. We need people who are willing to say, this needs to be done. I have a desire for this to happen. And I know for a day, a conference, for a local assembly, that the windows need to be cleaned, that the insurance needs to be paid. All of these things have to be done. And I know as well that I'm not going to get the feedback. Nobody's going to go out to me and go, well done, you made sure the insurance was paid on that building. Or well done, you weeded the outside. I'm not going to get that reward from others, more than likely. It's going to be a background role. It's not going to be noticed. And it can lead to resentment. But what a wonderful thought to think, I'm going in the way that our Lord did. I'm being useful. I'm serving. And I think that's something, although when we're younger, we don't want to take on roles of big administration. We need wisdom. We need guidance in that. But there's something we can all do. We could all leave here and go, how could I be a greater servant in the local assembly? How could I help others use their gifts? How could I take the burden off people who are perhaps doing everything like the early apostles were, when actually they could do with somebody stepping in and just taking that little bit off them? I think that's something we all could do. We need servants. And so to finish, elders today, as I said, I don't think we can identify and appoint elders today. It's not our role. It's not our job. But we need men. How much do we need people who care for the flock? How much do we need men and older men, mature men, who are interested in not feeding themselves, but in feeding the flock? Who are interested in protecting, who are interested in the well-being and the benefit of those in the local assembly. We desperately need that. And this passage talks about elders, but I think it's really meaning older people. And it says, start in verse 2, Peter says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. In 1 Timothy, it talks about wanting to desire to have these roles. And I think it's good. One of my prayers is that especially the younger people here would sit here and go, I would love one day to be a man who, if the Lord doesn't come, who is able to teach, who is able to care and protect the flock. But we shouldn't desire it, as Derek's brought before us, so we can domineer, so we can be the boss. We shouldn't desire to do it or feel that we're forced into doing it. It should be a joyful thing to do. But we need people that are willing to shepherd the flock. What's our thought when we come to a conference? Is it, I'm really looking forward to discuss this obscure verse to make sure I can talk about that? Is that our thought when we come together? Is my thought, I'm really interested to show off how much I know, or I'm going to ask that brother a particularly difficult question? Is that our thought? Or is our thought when we come together, there's a flock, and I may not be an elder appointed, but I'm of an age and maturity, and I'm apt to teach, and I've been given that gift, and I'm talking about those I'm looking at now. It's my thought, how can I feed the flock that's there, the Lord's flock? How can I shepherd them? How can I love them? How can everything I do be for their benefit? That's what we need to, that's what we need. We may not have elders, but we need shepherds. Just one final point. Actually, I didn't include it on here, but it goes on after that. And this is one especially for the young lads. It's great to see young people here. But it then goes on to say, but be submissive. And there's no good. I can stand up here and go, we need shepherds. We need older people who care for us and are willing to look after us. And then an old person comes to you and goes, I love you. I've been praying for you. There's a bit in your life that's inconsistent. And I know from my own experience that if you keep going this way, you're going to fall. And then we go, well, who are you to tell me? We need to be submissive and to actually listen to those who care for us and love us. The call from the Lord, and we'll finish with these. He could say to Simon Peter, to feed my lambs, to tend my sheep, to feed my sheep. So, elders were appointed by apostles. Deacons were appointed by apostles. They're distinct and different roles. I don't think today we don't have apostles, clearly. I don't think we can appoint each other to be these things. But we need people who are exercised about these particular roles. We need those who are willing to do that type of deacon service in the assembly. Who's willing to do the background administrative work that makes conferences, meetings of the local assembly happen? Who's willing to do that without very little recognition or praise from those around, as the nature is of a background role? Who's willing to do that? Who's willing to follow the Lord Jesus in being a servant? And we need shepherds. We need those who are willing to look at the flock and see what the flock needs, and to feed the flock and to protect the flock, because, and to have, as the Lord did, to have compassion on the flock. We know our weaknesses. We know the state of things. We know the need for people to be exercised about feeding the flock. So, to summarize, do we have these offices today? In that respect, I would say no. But the work needs to be done.